Hi, and welcome to Sunday Replay for the service at Harmony Tulika Lake on August 25th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and this week we will continue our sermon series, Badass Women of the Bible, with a reflection from Reverend Jefferson Beaker, and after, from Gaddison and the Harmony Worship Band. But first, with his reflection about the Canaanite woman, here's Rev J.
We have been having a sermon series, if you've been here the last few weeks, called, I'm actually going to just say it, Badass Women of the Bible. Absolutely. And there are a lot of them. And in these 4 weeks, we can't cover all of them, but guess what? We'll come back to this theme because it has really been fun. So this is the third Sunday of our series. And today I want to do a passage from the Gospel according to Matthew. And it is really one that I have been looking forward to doing for many, many years. I can't believe I've never done it before. And so here is our scripture reading this morning. After going out from there, Jesus went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that area came and cried out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is horribly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. Then his disciples came and begged him, "Send her away, because she keeps crying out to us." And so he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and bowed down before him and said, "Lord, help me." He answered her, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, your faith is great. Let what you want be done for you." And her daughter was healed in this hour. I really love this woman. She had what my mother used to call spunk. Others may call it chutzpah. But I think she had a combination of things: respect with a little side of sass. So as I was reading this story again, I began to wonder, who should play her in the movies? After all, we are in Hollywood, the movie capital. Okay, not technically in Hollywood, but there's a movie studio down the street and a couple of them over that way, so let's go with it. Let's indulge ourselves for a moment here. Suppose the movie was made in the 30s or the 40s, those glorious black and white movies. Who might play this Canaanite woman? How about Betty Davis? Star of Jezebel. Whatever happened to Baby Jane? And perhaps one of my all-time favorite movies, All About Eve. So if not Betty Davis, how about Joan Crawford? Frightening. Star of another one of my favorite movies, The Women, as well as Mildred Pierce and Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? All right, let's be a little more current, shall we? Perhaps it's the remake of this spectacular called The Canaanite Woman. So who might we cast? How about Wanda Sykes? Wanda Sykes, you go, girl. She's ready. Well, I don't think we don't have to say any more about that. Or perhaps Glenn Close. Glenn Close, a little Cruella DeVille for spice and for zing. But then there is my all-time favorite pick for this, and that is the amazing Meryl Streep. A little touch of Miranda Priestly, The Devil Wears Prada, Sophie's Choice. You get the idea. I just picture this woman. I picture her as this woman in her beautiful bias-cut gown, belted at the waist, off one shoulder with a kick pleat. You know what a kick pleat is, right? Okay. If you don't watch Project Runway, they'll explain it to you. So this woman in our gospel story has always intrigued me. But like so many women in the Bible, unfortunately, she is not even given a name. But from the very outset, we know in this scripture that Jesus has limited his ministry and his mission to the house of Israel. And so, as a Jew, Jesus, having this bold Gentile woman approach him, would have been very jolting. Now, Jesus does go about his ministry, and there is many contact with Gentiles, for people were traveling throughout the region all the time. And the authors of Matthew, in this case, and in the book of Mark, there is also a slightly different version of this story, which is shorter. And both of these authors have made a conscious choice to include this story in their negatives. And I think for that reason, it is very important. If you think about it, this episode also recalls another story in the Bible where Jesus came in contact with a Roman centurion, and Jesus healed that man's servant. But in this case, the request comes from a woman. What I find significant in both of these stories is that the healing that takes place is done, as we would say in the movies, off camera. Jesus is not even present with the one who is healed. But these miracles do, I believe, foreshadow for us that his message will soon expand throughout the world beyond the Jewish population to the Gentile population as well. I think that in this account, it is also important to understand that this woman addresses Jesus as Son of David, referencing his Jewish lineage, and also in doing so, distancing herself from even the Jewish leaders who do not recognize Jesus for who he truly is. But yet Jesus ignores her request, and the disciples want to send her packing. Jesus here even uses a pejorative term for her by calling her a dog. Now, that may sound very benign to us, but in the first century, calling somebody a dog would be calling him language that I'm not prepared to say here in front of everybody, plus have it go out on camera for all eternity. For he says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But what does she do? She's clever. And I would even add, she is very respectful of him, even though inside of her she had to be seething with anger. But she overcomes Jesus' reluctance by turning to her advantage Jesus' own language about taking the food from children and throwing it to the dogs. And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, I think we have to pause here for just a moment and say a word about the symbol of bread. And it is very important to this story. For bread is a symbol of life. It is a staple. Bread is something that is important, and particularly important in the everyday life of first century people. And bread is a strong metaphor here, for it is something that has been transformed. Think about it. You're going to make bread. You have to work it. You have to knead it. You have to let it rise, and then you have to rework it again and break it down and add a rising agent, yeast. And then it goes into the oven, and it is baked, and it emerges as another substance. Bread is a living thing that is transformed into something else. This woman is also saying to Jesus, I may not be from the house of Israel, I may not be a Jew, but I am a living, breathing human being who wants to be transformed through my faith in your God. A God who can do miracles, a God who can change lives, a God who makes people new. She calls him Lord. She calls him Lord. And that is a sign, too, of her faith and belief in Jesus, that he is indeed who he appears to be. And what does Jesus then do? He says to the woman, Woman, your faith is great. Let what you want be done to you. And her daughter was healed in that hour. I believe the readers of Matthew's gospel in the late first century and early second century would have indeed found great significance in the bringing together of Jesus' outreach and definition of the kingdom of God as being inclusive. It is indeed open to all who recognize the welcome and the power of accepting the invitation to dwell in the Christ presence, to live and move and breathe, living in the Christ consciousness, his way of seeing the world, his way of thinking and acting. I think it's very sad that so many people today who call themselves Christian have lost focus of what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus was loving. He was inclusive. He was welcoming to all equally and always driven by that which lifted people up. He was not in any way interested in doctrine. And let's remember that most negative doctrine in the church today didn't actually happen until the fourth century when the church and the state aligned with one another. Are you getting the parallel? Jesus called it out. He never relied on the state to say he couldn't minister to those over here or those over there. He would include everyone. And like all the gospel stories, these stories are powerful. But you want to know something? Your story is powerful. Your individual, living, unique, beautiful story is powerful. And we need to tell those stories again, and we need to tell them again and again, for they remind us of where we have been, how far perhaps we have come, and they help us to understand our place in the world. They help us to understand and see clearly where it is that we are going, and that we are doing so in community. We're not doing it alone. We are doing it with one another. I love this quote. We tell our stories because all of us have survived something. Because stories are signposts from the past that give us clues about our future. Finally, our stories are a witness to the next generation and an opportunity to understand the universal, as well as the particular in tales of trauma, healing, and survival. Imagine the stories. Imagine the stories that this woman went on to tell and the lives that were perhaps changed for hearing of her experience with Jesus that became a vital part of her story. So, was she sassy? You bet she was. She called out Jesus for his reluctance, and in that process created a teaching moment for Jesus and for us. And this woman's story is so, so powerful. For she recognized that in her time of suffering, in her time of doubt, in her inner struggle, that there was indeed a place for her to turn. There was a person to whom she could turn. And she also had the faith that in turning to this source of healing, she would not do so in vain. I would have wanted Jesus and everyone who heard her story to know that they are worthy. Jesus' message and ministry is indeed available to everybody who chooses it, accepts it. Regardless of who you are, regardless of who you have been, what you have done, who you are today, you are included in Jesus' loving community of peace and healing and care. And the bread in this story is indeed representative of feeding the individual soul with an emphasis on the marginalized and the disempowered. The healing presence of the Christ presence blesses all equally. In an ancient world where one's birthright, lineage, gender, and position determined their place in the world, this story reminds us, it truly reminds each of us, that our birthright is the only one that matters, and that is the birthright of being a child of God. And that the only response we ever need to say to Jesus' call is yes. It also reminds us that we must be diligent in our search, in our belief, and in our connection with Jesus, with Spirit, and with living in the Christ consciousness. So as I conclude, the woman in this story today may or may not have been a real person, and that does not matter. She could have been an author's creation for the sake of example, and God bless him, it is a powerful example. But if she is a real person, if she is, God bless her, God bless her. A sassy woman, yes. A spitfire, yes. A term I used to hear from my parents, a real dame, you betcha. An example for each and every one of us.
Well, it's halftime, so here's a few words about upcoming events and opportunities here at Harmony Tulika Lake. First, join us for Friday Fun Night at 6 p.m. on September 6th. Take a trip down memory lane and sing your heart out to the greatest hits of the 80s. Join us in Fellowship Hall at Harmony for an evening filled with nostalgia, laughter, and all the iconic tunes that defined a decade. Feel free to dress up in your best 80s attire or just come as you are for some karaoke fun. Next, we will have a special combined service at the Hollywood campus on September 8th, a celebration of Reverend Kathy Cooper Ledesma's last Sunday service as our senior pastor. There will be a reception immediately following to honor her 18 years serving here at HUMC and her transition into retirement. And finally, it's the return of Inner Harmony's in-person meditation sessions. Monday, September 9th, in the Harmony Sanctuary, Rev Jefferson will lead a time of meditation beginning at 7:30 p.m. All are welcome. Now for the second half of today's episode, let's join Gaddison and the Harmony Worship Band.
Put your hands together like this. Come on. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs for you. We are here for you. Come on, sing this with me. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. Come on, to you our hearts are open.
Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. Yeah. Let our shouts be your anthem. And your renown, let it fill the sky. We are here for you. Oh, yes, we are. We are here for you. And let your word move in power. And let what's dead, let it come to life. Because we are here for you. Oh, yes, we are, God. We are here for you. Come on, every voice. To you, our hearts are open. Oh, to you, our hearts are open. Nothing is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. Come on, sing that out again. To you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. Oh, let it fall down. Oh, oh, yeah. And we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in. Come on, let every heart, adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. Cause you alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down.
Come on, put your hands together this morning. God is worthy of your all. Amen? All right now, so we're going to give it, okay?
Yeah, yeah. I give you my all, God. So worthy, God. I'm here for you. See, I stand before you, awed by your majesty. I'm covered by your mercy. Your love has made me free. Oh, thank you, God. And draw me to you. And would you set my heart on fire? Yes, God. I want to know you, yeah. Cause you're my one desire. Yeah. So I give you my worship. I give you all of my passion. I give
give you my whole heart and all my devotion. Oh, yes, I do, God. It's your grace is never ending. Your hands, they carry me. It's your body that was broken for all the world to see. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, Lord. See, my heart is held. Thank you, Jesus. By love so unconditional. Oh, yeah, God. You captivate me, yeah. You're the lover of my soul. Come on, sing this out. I give you my worship. I give you my worship. Come on, give it to him this morning. And all of my passion. Oh, yes, I do, God. I give you my whole heart. And all my devotion. Come on, say, here I will bow down. Oh, and here I will bow down. Oh, yes, God. And say that I need you. I humble myself, God. And here I will worship. Oh, Lord. And I say that I love you. Morning. Oh, how I love you. Oh, just give him those simple words. And oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you, God. Oh, how I love you. Oh, oh yeah. I love you, God. I won't hold back, God. You deserve my worship. You deserve my worship, God. Thank you for wrapping me in love. Thank you for your mercy, God. Oh, thank you. I want to know you. I want to know you. And I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, yes, God, and I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Come on, sing that with me. Declare that this morning. Oh, and I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, sing it out and say, I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. I give you my worship. Oh, yes, I do, God. And all of my passion. Oh, I give it to you, God. To do, God, and here I will worship. Oh Lord, I say that I love you. Sing this with me. Oh, how I love. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, just stay right here and say, oh, how I love you. Simple words. Oh, how I love you. I I just want to stay right here and say, oh, how I love you, God, yeah. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, one more time. Oh, how I love you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay here on the Harmony Podcast Network, produced and recorded by me, Donna Miller. This week's guests were Reverend Jefferson Beaker and Gaddison and the Worship Band. Be sure to like, rate, subscribe, and especially to download these episodes, which helps us to continue making content for you and all our listeners. Sunday Replay is sponsored in part by Hollywood United Methodist Church, of which Harmony Tooloola Lake is the second campus. Find us on social media and drop us a comment. Join us next Sunday as we finish our sermon series called Badass Women of the Bible with a sermon from the Reverend Dr. Mary Dennis called So Many Marys. Until next time, as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.